Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Want to get some punch. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with Roman Oben. What does that mean? That's right. It is a Wednesday because we are your Wednesday crew here on Giants.com. The day before Thanksgiving, so a lot of excitement, a lot of love, a lot of family feel going on around here at the facility. And again, we welcome you in. This show's for the fans, so the phone lines will be open. 201-939-4513 is the phone number if you want to get in. Again, 201-939-4513. Also, all things social media. Rome and I are extremely active on social media. I think that's an understatement. You can find me at Anita Marks. You can find Roman at r_Oben. And, of course, we're already assuming that you're following the Giants at Giants. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, by all means, please put them up there. Hashtag Giants Chat. I will be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, and I will share your comments and questions as well. So with you for the next hour is we're hosting the show. As always, the Giants are practicing right now, getting ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And
and we're expecting 3 to 6 inches of snow today.
Yeah.
So they're practicing indoors.
So I had a blonde moment. I'm entitled, okay? I pay a lot of money for this blondness. So I'm entitled to one blonde moment a month. And I left the house.
You only one?
Yeah, one a month.
I think you get more than one.
Okay. Well, does it mean that I have more than one blonde moment
a month? You commit more than one a month.
Okay.
But you're allowed only one.
I knew that was a dig. There was a dig in there somewhere. But anyway, I left the house without boots. You see my shoes? So, needless to say,
whoa.
Yeah, these are nice, aren't they?
Those boots are made for walking.
I am not wearing boots. So, anyway, I almost ate it in the Giants parking lot today because I pulled in. I guess it had just started snowing and raining for about 10 minutes. And, Roman, seriously, I did one of those like, whoa.
Oh, wow.
Did you
land on your hands, though?
No. I started going this way, and then I started going back this way. and then I did one of those athletic, like,
and you actually, you got back to balance.
That's I did, and actually, a few of the salespeople were walking out, and like they started applauding me, like, oh,
Well, you are an athlete now.
I'm like, you're applauding me because I didn't like land on my face, Roman. Seriously, I had like all my bags,
yeah.
I had my umbrella like stuck underneath my armpit. I mean, it would have been ugly. I would have been bloody. I would have been doing the show bloody. It was horrible.
But
anyway,
you're tough,
everybody,
you're tough
be
it out,
safe
so.
Out there. It's
yes,
really,
please do.
It's really nasty. But I guess the good thing for the Giants is that they get to hightail it out of here and they're going to sunny South Florida, which actually I have family who live in St. Augustine, Florida. It's not really sunny, right now. It's actually quite cold, but nothing like what we're going to experience here in the Northeast.
Yeah. I mean, Jacksonville obviously is on the northern end of Florida and, they do get cold up there, but it's still like on an average of a 30 degree deviation of what it is here. So if it's 30 here, it's at least 60. It's not 85 like Orlando, but it's definitely warmer this time of year in Jacksonville than most other places.
All right, let's look back, as always, before we look forward. Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Talking all things Big Blue as they're trying to finish the season at least at 500 and go out on a happy note. But unfortunately, they do lose against the Dallas Cowboys. I think there's some positives that you can take out of that Dallas game. First and foremost, I mean, we really haven't had a chance to talk about this, but the catch. I mean, there's so many names for it right now. I don't know. The two-finger grab, the claw, the
meat hooks,
bend it like Beckham. I mean, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it was just and the debate has been really for the past few days, is that the best catch ever in the history of the NFL? I'm putting you on the hot seat. Is it, Roman?
It's got to be up there. And I think sometimes, unfortunately, it won't make that because of the severity of the game. Now, if that's a game-winning touchdown in a playoff game that sends a team into the Super Bowl or that wins the division or I mean, the catch itself is one thing, but I think when you're talking the greatest ever, it has to be based on the circumstances of the catch and what that touchdown meant. Unfortunately, it was a losing effort, so it doesn't – for me, it doesn't go as the greatest catch ever. Now, the greatest single performance – yeah, sure, greatest single catch, probably, but – in terms of relevance of what the catch meant, it does not. I mean, I remember 2007, and you guys can look at Google it or whatever. When I was in San Diego, Antonio Cromartie, it was a Sunday night game against the Colts. He made an interception over Reggie Wayne just like that. Outside hand, one hand, brought it down, kept it in bounds. But it was a defensive play. It was an interception. It wasn't a touchdown. It didn't win the game. The Chargers ended up beating the Colts. They were defending Super Bowl champions that year. But literally, if you Google that, Antonio Cromartie interception over Peyton Manning, that comes up. It's the same exact catch. There was no social media back then. It's 2007. Maybe Twitter was in its development stages.
Yeah, like as if Kim Kardashian thought she broke Twitter. Odell Beckham Jr. has something for you.
Yeah,
Kimmy.
Then he broke Twitter. There's like a hashtag of things Odell Beckham can catch. Some of them were a little tasteless, unfortunately. I don't want to go there. But again, just as it was a great play. And I think sometimes one thing that meant to me was you saw the pregame. And they show this a couple times, what Odell Beckham does, his pregame warm-up ritual. And I remember, and a lot of people have to talk about this week, Chris Carty should do that all the time. His pregame ritual was that corner of the end zone, one-handed catch, yanking him out the air, purposely having the juggler machine, throwing the ball behind him, one-handed. Chris Carter was the king of that. And to see Odell Beckham doing that, and it's like it's not for showboating, but it was for actually having to catch a ball like that if it ever became that way. Because if you work on the harder thing, then the easier thing becomes a lot easier.
So earlier this week, Odell Beckham Jr. had a autograph signing with Brandon Steiner, Steiner Sports. Actually, it was both him and Victor Cruz, but it was after the catch. So the line around the block for the photograph of the catch for Odell Beckham Jr. was just ridiculous. And he spoke to the media and he said, "I just want to thank my mom. I'm blessed. My mom gave me long fingers." So,
that's pretty cool.
And if folks aren't aware, Odell Beckham's parents are extremely athletic.
Yeah.
His father's a former football player. His mom, who actually I've had the pleasure of meeting, Heather, is a absolute track star stud. She's a track coach. At one point in time, she coached at Tulane. I'm not sure what university she's at right now, but she ran the New York Marathon this past year. So very athletic genes. But one thing about Odell, and I don't know how much time really you've spent or been around him. I know you've interviewed him on First and 10, but not only are his hands tremendous, okay, but his arms are, for someone who's, what is he, 5'11"?
5'11 to 6 feet maybe, yeah.
His arms are like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Roman, they come down below his knees.
Yeah,
so
he's got a big long wingspan.
His wingspan for somebody who's 5'11 is not normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we have to look at the combine numbers about what his wingspan really was. I remember Elvis Dumervil, same way. He's 5'11 but has like a 6'5 wingspan, and you can tell how long his arms are. I mean, he's got a shorter torso, so it makes his arms look a little bit longer. But as a guy, you know, I remember me and John Ogden and I having the longest wingspan at the combines. I'm 6'4", he's 6'7". So to have a wing, so I totally get it. And one thing sometimes when we measure these kind of things, it's one thing. I remember even Javon Kearse, he had like a 12-inch from the pinky to the thumb.
Right.
That whole measurement they use at the combine. But use it, though. Like, don't just see the metrics, but Odell Beckham is a guy that uses the long arms, uses the long fingers. He uses it to his advantage, and that's why sometimes the combine, they talk about all these immeasurables and these tangibles, but when you see a guy actually use it, that's a lot more compelling to me. But again, a lot of upside, a lot of excitement. And Victor Cruz, you mentioned the autograph signing. He's out of crutches by now. He tweeted that also this week, that he's blessed to be no more crutches, so... He wants to get to the point where it's a legitimate. The Giants can in 2015 can have a legitimate 1 and 2 combination at the receiver position.
How great would that be? Again, taking your calls 201-939-4513. I know we've got a few people on hold. We're going to get to you in a hot second. Just to recap the Dallas game. Unfortunately, the Giants do lose. Unfortunately, they're 6th straight. Tony Romo, 275, 4 touchdowns. Obviously, that touchdown pass to Dez Bryant pretty much was the nail in the coffin, unfortunately, for the Giants. But how about Eli Manning? I mean, take away that red zone interception, which I know was a crucial turning point in the game. But 11 for 15 on third down. And don't underestimate this Dallas defense. I think the positive here is that this was a Giants team that looked good in the first half and was still in it to win it throughout the game. You know what I mean? And even though, you know, I know at the end of the day, it's a loss is a loss and you've got to be disappointed about it. But at the same time, I mean, this isn't a Giants team that was just, you know, blown out of the water by the Dallas Cowboys, who's a very, very good football team right now. This is a Giants team, Roman, that was able to compete down to the last, you know, minute of the game.
Yeah, and I need to speak on this because of my close relationship with Rod Marinelli and Monty Kiffin. I was with them in Tampa. They were, you know, defensive coordinator. And Rod Marinelli is a defensive line coach. And one thing in that Tampa, too, number one, it takes a couple of years to really get it going, so everyone really buys into to how it can be effective. And secondly, you know, they're used to maximizing guys who aren't considered, you know, marquee guys. I mean, you lose DeMarcus Ware. You get this guy like Henry Melton, you know, 5.5 sacks. I mean, they're able to get kind of a sack-by-committee approach. You know, George Selvey, who was really on his last string in the NFL as an undersized guy, he's found a home at that defensive end spot in Dallas. You lose linebackers. You lose people all over the place. The defense was supposed to be the bottom of the league, and these guys committed, and you have assistants. You know, Jason Garrett, he's enabled himself. He's empowered assistant coaches, you know, Monty Kiffin. Rod Marinelli, I mean, guys that, you know, head coach quality guys. You know, Rod Marinelli was a head coach of Detroit Lions, obviously. And then offensively, Scott Linehan, who was a head coach with the Rams. Bill Callahan, who was a head coach. And you have Bill Callahan, who was a West Coast guy, used to ball distribution, spreading it out, creating that rhythm. Scott Linehan, who's from that Rams-Detroit, you know, era of airing it out every time, as soon as you get off the bus. And now they're running the football. So they've taken elements, and that's credit to Jason Garrett. They've taken elements of different things that have won and kind of really brought together one team. And I think because Dallas has struggled so much and so much criticism, you know, from a player, this is just speaking as a player, not as a Giants versus that, but that only makes you stronger as a team when you can get over all that, because that makes you tougher. And that's a formula that the Dallas used to win, defensively, winning with a bunch of nobodies. Offensively, taking your ego out of it and this approach and saying, look, let's just run the ball and be good at that because we have this great offensive line. And that's what's won. When teams can focus, when teams can be simple and in their approach but be effective in their outcome, I mean, that's when they win. And that's what that's why the Cowboys are at the head of the division.
Well, they've got an interesting game up against the Philadelphia Eagles on Turkey Day. We're going to talk about those three Turkey Day games a little bit later on in the show, but we're talking Giants right now as they get ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Anita Marks, Roman Oben, you're watching, not just listening to, but watching on Giants.com, Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513. Roman, let's head out to our calls, and first and foremost, let's go to Joe calling in from PA, wants to talk about the defense in last week's game. Joe, you're kicking us off, so welcome in.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it's a perception, I guess, on the defense and the offense the last two games, where I think in the first game the offense, you know, it's second-guessing, I guess. I would have loved to see that play call where they Eli rolled out and they had Robinson go to the, you know, block and then break out instead of just throwing them lobs continuously. Maybe that would have worked, you know, just a little shaking it up a little. It's second guessing on coaching. And then on the second one, and Roman, you probably can answer this here. I give the Dallas defense, our offense, credit. They are good blocking. But I just think we played into their hands, you know, where we were just rushing straight up the field on defense. There was no mixing it up, no stunts. No, like before, Fuel used to even drop Strahan back or so, maybe, and have a safety or a corner coming in or a linebacker. It just made it too easy, you know. And my second guess, and you're an offensive lineman, and that if you know where they're coming from and everything, and same with the quarterback, isn't it, you know what I mean, when you don't know where the enemy's coming from, make it a little harder?
Well, thanks, Joe. And I'll answer that second question. You know, as an offensive lineman, you know, when I saw the combination of, you know, you saw Kuhn in there for a while, who's more of a, what's considered like a phone booth player, a guy that attracts double teams, that gets the clog up the middle. So my perception was that because Kuhn was in there for a while, he would attract the double teams, and then you'd have three other just one-on-ones. You'd have JPP, who was working against Tyron Smith. You'd have Kiwi, and obviously, you know, Ayers or Hankins or whoever was that third guy. But, yeah, there was some criticism about the personnel and the ability to, you know, maybe send a fifth guy. Coach Coughlin talked about this in the press conference show just less than an hour ago. There were blitzes called. There were things called, but the inability to bring it home. And as a coach, sometimes all you can do is call the play and expect them to execute properly. And if you see the highlight of Tony Romo literally doing jumping jacks for almost 10 seconds before finding open receivers, that's due particularly to the lack of pass rush from four guys. And, you know, Joe mentioned, you know, Strahan. Perry Fuel, just to correct him, he didn't coach Strahan. He's been the D coordinator after Strahan retired. Okay. But I get it. At this defense's peak, you could get to the quarterback with four guys. OC, a younger Tuck, Strahan. Different guys on the defensive line. Always can get to the quarterback with four. This year, Robert Ayers is the only guy that really has shown the versatility, the burst, the push to really close. Matthias Kiwanuka, if you didn't know this, Anita, you know, this Pro Football Focus, they do these stats. He's actually had more hurries than most defensive linemen in the league consistently. Just haven't had the sacks. So in terms of getting in the quarterback's face, you know, making him reshuffle his feet, that's considered a hurry. But the hits, the sacks, Kiwi has not gotten. JPP, you know, when you're going against a good left tackle in Tyron Smith, sometimes that matchup kind of neutralizes itself, and then now the other guys have to win. Ayers, Hankins, somebody else, Demontre Moore, those guys have to win. And again, if you're only going to rush four with an occasional blitz or a green dog, which is when you just bring one more guy, and I don't know if fans know the difference between a dog and a blitz. A dog is just bringing an extra guy. A blitz is a designed play where you're actually blitzing and bringing guys from different parts of the field. Again, Tony Romo's that last series was probably more disheartening for me as an offensive lineman because no one was getting beaten. And when you see the other offensive line, the Giants offensive line, that started to break down in the second half versus the Cowboys that actually got better in the second half when they had to pass for Tony Romo to get move the ball downfield.
Also, beyond the line, beyond the Giants defensive line or the Dallas Cowboys offensive line, I mean, you have to give credit where credit is due. And one thing about Tony Romo is that he's very elusive.
Yeah.
He's one of the most elusive quarterbacks in the NFL. I think you can argue what Ben Roethlisberger is pretty good at it. He's also really hard to bring down because he's so big. It is hard to bring Tony Romo down sometimes. His pocket awareness is very good.
Which is all true, Anita, and we've all seen highlights in the last couple of years, him rolling out to his left and avoiding sacks. He didn't do that this game. He stood in the pocket and found open receivers downfield with a tackle and guards that had good depth on the pocket. I'm sorry, center and two guards had the depth, and the tackles controlled the width. He didn't have to move around and roll and scramble and throw a downfield for, you know, a heartbreaking touchdown. You didn't see that Tony Romo on Sunday. You saw a Romo that stood in the pocket and found open receivers. And you saw DeMarco Murray, who didn't break the game open, but I don't know, 24 carries, 5 yards a carry? I mean, that helped Dallas stay in the game. So, again, Eli Manning played a lot better. Eli Manning recovered from the 49ers, you know, 5-interception game. And it's unfortunate that we're talking about this one interception that was at least a 3-point difference in the game, because if Preston Parker doesn't tip that ball, it's probably just an incomplete pass. I mean, that's just bad luck, right? The ball was kind of high and behind, and Eli Manning typically throws a little bit of a high ball. I mean, that's, you know, I guess from years with throwing a Plaxico or guys that can go up and get it, throwing to those big tight ends in the middle. I think sometimes that creates subconsciously the habit of throwing that high ball. I mean, he throws a ball that's typically about...
Also, it's his release point.
Yeah, too. His release point is the ball typically is about 7 feet up in the air, and that's okay if it's Donnell, if it's these tight ends. But, you know, Preston Parker, we saw that. Remember the Bears game last year, Brandon Mosley. Myers, Brandon Myers, tight end. That Bears game, a ball that was high and tipped. If it's a bigger, taller player...
It works.
So it was really unfortunate that one interception, you know, and that's my one of my keys this week, just the Giants' ability to recover from the mistakes, because if defense gets to the quarterback, if they stop Tony Romo, we're not talking about that one interception that came as a result of a tip ball. I mean, we're not talking about that. If Antoine Roll catches that interception in the end zone, we're not talking about that one tip ball, because Eli Manning, 330 yards passing, 29 for 48 for 40, three touchdowns. Odell Beckham, great catch. You know, we're not having these other discussions. So I think the Giants now, I don't believe in trap game, because 3-8 versus 1-9, whatever Jacksonville is, isn't constitute a trap game, because their teams are pretty similar in where they are. You have to be able to recover from the mistakes and make those plays in the fourth quarter that enable you to win. The teams that the Giants have played have done that. The Giants have not.
201-939-4513. Let's head out to line one. Ernest from Connecticut. Ernest, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Is he not on anymore? All right.
You know, that game turned out to be a quarterback shootout. Neither defense is really stopping one another. And it was the better quarterback was the one who was the veil, which was Tony Romo. Eli, I actually taped that whole game, because I tape every game. And I went back and I watched what pressure Eli had on him. I watched the linemen, I watched the receivers and everything else. There was no reason Eli just rushed that pass. He just rushed it and he threw it too high. And also, by him throwing all those high passes, he's going to get some of his receivers absolutely killed. He's got to bring that ball down, especially with these shorter receivers. And I'm very worried about Beckham, because he's going to go up and try to catch everything in sight. And throwing those high balls, Beckham is not a big guy. And trying to catch those high balls, I just hope that we don't end up losing him for the season. And so, but one of my questions is, do you think that maybe they should not use Beckham so much, like on punt returns and everything, and get him, and he end up, getting injured or hurt? The next season, you have another injured receiver. Now Vic is coming back. Shouldn't they kind of take it a little bit easy and start working in some of these other younger receivers, like Corey Washington and stuff like that? And do you think that they will go for and pick up Dominic Sue, the defensive tackle for the Lions, since it's been stated and he's made a statement that he does want to play for the Giants? They let Linval Joseph go, and they let a lot of these good players go and try to punch in mid-shift players. Now you're right back at the same point that we were last year. But I think that we should have still won that game Sunday. Eli Manning, we were on the 20-yard line, even though he threw all those yards and he did everything else. But it was that one shot that he messed up on that took that drive, and he had no pressure on him whatsoever.
Hey,
so
thank
I'd like
you.
To hear what you have to say. About.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate it. Two things. Number one, cannot escape a show with you on Wednesday without a Corey Washington phone call.
You saw my blood start boiling.
We just can't do it. But I guess, and this is a question actually that I've heard quite a few Giants fans say, listen, there's no chance of this Giants team reaching the postseason. So why not play some of these other players just to kind of see, kind of like, what Lovie Smith is doing in Tampa, just to see what's in his cupboard, to kind of see, what type of production can these other guys bring to the table for the team, so that a better understanding moving forward in regard to free agency and what to do in the draft. Thoughts on that? Do you think that'll happen?
Well, first of all, what's Tampa's record? They're 2-8 or whatever they are.
Right.
Okay, this is Lovie Smith's first year or second year there?
First year there. In Tampa.
So he's still at a exploratory phase of his coaching career in Tampa right now. So that doesn't, Vince Jackson's, who I know personally, he played with him in Tampa. I mean, San Diego, he's a great talent. I mean, now he's becoming a cap issue, and you're hearing things about that. That's not where Tom Coughlin is. That's not where this Giants team is. And I think in terms of playing these young guys, it makes sense in theory, and I get it. And last year, you go back to the Detroit game, Jernigan caught a ball on 4th-and-8 that won the game, and John Mara said that, it took us 4 years to see if Jernigan could be a good player, and I think that obviously he made that comment. But you're trying to win football games. And when you're trying to win football games, you've got to put the best players who are the most prepared, who can demonstrate to the coaching staff that they can understand the concepts in the meeting room, on the practice field, and go out there on Sunday and perform. And then have that positive repetition. I mean, Larry Donnell was a guy, for example, that has demonstrated he's climbed his way up from the bottom. He was a quarterback in college, moved to tight end, practice squad. I mean, that's a guy that's earned his way to work his way to the top. Preston Parker, you know the story. He was on the street, came back, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, the irony of this question is you're either asking the question of why don't you get Odell Beckham more involved, or the question of why don't you get everyone else involved. If you get everyone else involved, then Odell Beckham should get more touches. I mean, and it's funny, Coach Kauffman just talked about this. So it's always one at the risk of another. You can't get on that field, or you can't put a player on that field because I don't want to get him out there because he might get – no. You can get injured driving to work in the morning. You can get injured, Anita, getting out of your car in the snow. You know?
Like me today. So, I was here, and then I was
Yeah, so
here,
I understand 100% what Ernest is saying in that regard. And the Ndamukong Suh question, this team has never, ever, ever signed a big break-the-bank free agent to come in this case. Has never done it. Specifically that D-tackle position. This team drafts well at defensive tackles to the point where they've let defensive tackles go because you knew you had another guy in the waiting. But in terms of...
But this is some guy named Sue.
I don't care. In terms of Rocky Bernard, Chris Canty, I mean, guys, Colin Jenkins, I mean, guys that are serviceable guys, as you can develop the guy that you drafted, that you're going to get hopefully the best 7-8 years out of him before he can maybe finish that 30 years somewhere else. I mean, Ndamukong Suh's going to break this.
Okay,
you got to give him what you're giving Eli Manning.
All right, I'm going to throw this your way then. If there was one position in the NFL that you feel like a general manager should break the bank and pay that type of big time money to, don't give me a name. Give me a position.
I'll give you three.
Then where does that money matter?
Quarterback, right defensive end, three positions.
Quarter, corner,
and right defensive end. Okay. A guy that's going to get you double digits, a Jared Allen, a Julius Peppers. I mean, those are the signings you make. And you see that those guys sign their deals at the end of their career where they said, look, they're just trying to win. You know, but the Giants have not shown – I mean, this isn't the Redskins for 10 years where they kept signing a big-name guy every year. I mean, they give Albert Haynesworth $100 million and it didn't pan out. I don't think the Giants organization believes in that philosophy. I think you build guys through the draft. And you pay the guys that have demonstrated that they can, you know, lead and be at the top of their position, or that they've shown value to their team. Now, and I'll be honest with you, because I played for four different franchises, Giants, Cleveland, Tampa, San Diego, everyone wants to play for the Giants. Everyone wants to play in New York. Everyone knows that this – every player in the NFL knows that this is a great organization. I mean, I heard Rashad Jennings saying he finally feels like he's in the NFL because he plays for the Giants. I mean, after Jacksonville and Oakland, he didn't feel like he was even in the NFL. It felt like it was just a job. So there's value and sex appeal. I don't like to use that term in football. With putting that NY on your helmet. And every player, I've had LaDainian Tomlinson, Sean Merriman. I've had Mike Allstott. I've had guys, what's it like to play in New York? Man, what's it like to play in New York? So obviously, every free agent is going to say they want to play for them, and which is fine. Because
but who's willing to take a pay cut, though? I mean,
that's the question.
Yeah,
are you going to take a pay cut to play for the Giants, or would you just like to play for the Giants your terms?
See, I've always said, you know, money isn't everything, and it's hard for us to sit back because, you know, the type of money and the type of lifestyle that a professional athlete lives in is very different than obviously the one that someone like me lives in. So I look at that amount of money and say, well, you know, how much money do you really need to live to be happy? For me, I'm probably – if you were to take 10 of my closest friends and put them all in this room and say, give me one adjective that describes Anita, 9 of the 10 would say competitive. Like, I don't even like to lose at Flip Cup. No. Beer pong. No, I do not like – bowling, pool. Don't mess with me on a pool table. But this is where I'm going with this. I'm so competitive that and I'm not even at this caliber of a professional athlete. I can only imagine how competitive they are. There has to be a value. There has to be a monetary value placed on playing for a winning organization that you know each and every year they're going to step up to the plate and do the best they can. to put a winning team on the field to try to win a Super Bowl, as opposed to other teams out there that we know each and every year that they don't do that. And I don't feel we see that enough, Roman. I don't feel that, guys, it's all about the Benjamins, and there is no, I feel that more times than not, we're not seeing the value placed on playing for that organization.
I'm just going to give you this. I'm going to respond to that just really quickly. This is football. This is the NFL, where I'm putting myself now as a 25-year-old player in, you know, 1999, right? No one's going to care about me when I'm 40 years old except for my family, so I better get as much money as I can for as long as I can. And if that case happens where I'm pushing 30 and I have a chance to go win and I don't deserve $7, $8 million a year and I can play for $2 million or $1 million, then you go to the good team. But otherwise, you've got to protect your salary because that's all you have. And we're talking about a city where Carmelo Anthony took the max deal, and he could have taken less money when this is on his third contract to get better players. He took the max deal, not because he wanted to stay in New York, because he wanted to take the max deal. So, yeah, that all makes sense. That's in all fairness, and I have this conversation with my sister when I was – if you're a school teacher and you're making $40,000 a year and you're fighting the good fight and you realize everyone around you is making $55,000, well, you better pay me $55,000 or I'm going to go somewhere else. So in all fairness in life and the bigger picture, how much money do you need? Yeah, it makes sense. But in terms of what can the market bear, that's the discussion you have in the NFL or for any pro athlete. What can the market bear? If the market is $2 million, well, hopefully I can make $2 or $1.8 million. The market is $8 million. Well, hopefully I can make 8 or 6.9 or 7.2. But if I can make 8, I'm not going to take $2 million to stay. I mean, because you will never see that money again.
But that discrepancy is a big discrepancy. This is what I'm saying. If the Giants are offering me, if I'm a defensive lineman, if the Giants are offering me a 5-year, $25 million with 20 guaranteed, okay, and the Tampa Bay Bucks are offering me 6 years, $35 million with $20 million guaranteed. I'm putting a value on playing for the Giants organization more so than the Bucks organization. And even though it's less money, I'm valuing the fact that I'm playing for an organization, a franchise like the Giants. So I'm going to take lesser Benjamins, but I feel that I'm gaining more value in regard to the organization I'm playing for. That's what I mean. And you don't see that. You didn't see it with Edgerrin James when he left the Colts. And
well,
the list can go on and on and on of players that don't do it.
And Anita, I'll give you my personal example of my career. You look at a deal, it's like, what's the guaranteed money? What do you make in the first 3 years, you know, where you don't become a salary? I took a minimum veteran deal to go play for the Buccaneers because they had a better chance to win. When I was a free agent, I was on the street, growing up in Washington, D.C., then signing to play for the Baltimore Ravens, which I knew I was going to start, right? I went to Tampa without even a guarantee to start. When I knew I had confidence in myself. I knew they had a chance to win. And the Ravens were going through the transition around 01, 02, around that period.
Kyle Bowler was a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, Ozzie Newsome to this day probably still hates me for giving that phone call saying I'm going to Tampa for a minimum veteran deal versus the chance to play 30 minutes from where I grew up.
Right.
So I totally get that. But it was my 8th year in the NFL too. I was 30 when I made that decision. I wouldn't have made that decision at 25.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. And this is, I'll make this last point, and we'll continue with the calls because they're coming in fast and furious. 201-939-4513. Randy Moss, what, $1 million? Right, he took that $1 million deal to go play with Tom Brady and the Patriots to try to win a Super Bowl.
And how old was he when he did that?
Exactly.
When he took that deal?
It was late in his career.
Right.
All right. Let's go to Antoine calling in from Atlanta. Has an Odell Beckham question. Antoine, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're on with Roman Oben and Anita Marks.
Okay. Actually, I have three questions, but my first question about Odell Beckham is: do you think that catch was the greatest catch of all time?
100%. Next question.
My next question is, I know what it is. Do you think, who do you think is better, Hakeem Nicks or Plexico Burress when they were with the Giants?
Hakeem Nicks or Plaxico? Plaxico won, they both won Super Bowls for their teams. I mean, if you're comparing a 2011 Hakeem Nicks to an 07 Plaxico. I mean, it's up in the air. You can't change history. I don't. What's your third question? You got to end up on a strong one here, Antoine.
Okay, my next question is, what do you think the Giants have to do this Sunday to beat the Jaguars?
Well, that's a great question. So I think if you look at this Jacksonville Jaguars team, they're the youngest team in the league have the fewest amount of penalties, which is rare for a young team to have the least amount of penalties. Gus Bradley has prepared these guys. Now, they don't have the closability in terms of being a great team, but in the defense, in the red zone, they're stingy. They can get to the quarterback. I mean, they're third in sacks. I mean, so Jacksonville, when you start peeling the layers of these football teams that are considered bad teams, I mean, there's some things that they do well. So the Giants have to go on a road in an emotional game. You know, Coach Coughlin is going back home, so to speak. He built that program from nothing, as you know.
I was there, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I lived in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, so.
When that team, their first year, their inaugural year, and Tom Coughlin was the head coach.
Yeah, so they have to play a complete game and no turnovers. I mean, the Giants had every stat one. I mean, time possession last week, 35 minutes. 27 first downs. Dallas had 18 first downs. 69% on. I mean, what else could they have? Eli Manning sat down on the bench in the fourth quarter with the lead. All defense had to do was stop, make them punt, and the game's over. So the winning formula is there, but the ability to close and play a complete game has not been there, and that's what the Giants have to do on Sunday, Antoine, is play a complete game to win.
I just want to add a few things in regard to the Jacksonville Jaguars, because let's face it, I mean, even in this day and age of the red zone, I mean, how many people are out there watching the Jacksonville Jaguars play? Probably not many. But Blake Bortles, obviously they go out first quarterback drafted this year in the NFL draft. And I work with Chris Sims at Bleacher Report. Chris Sims did the
great
game.
Great guy. Yeah. Tell him I said what's up.
Fantastic. Really, really. Was he in Tampa with you?
Yeah, when I drafted him, my second year.
Oh, there. Just what a great guy. Yeah. And very talented. And anyway, he did the game for CBS, the last week's Jacksonville game. And he said, listen, there's some big concerns about Blake Bortles. His throwing style, watch his throwing style this Sunday when the Giants go up against him. He said it's not like he feels he should not have been drafted as the number one overall.
Really?
Yeah, quarterback.
Really?
Watch Bortles' throwing style. There's some concerns about him as their franchise quarterback moving forward. Wide receiver-wise, you have Cecil Shorts, and also Allen Robinson is on IR. So this young man, his name is Allen Hurns, is now the starting wide receiver opposite Cecil Shorts. And this young man is very, very talented. So I do believe that this Giants secondary are going to have their hands full, more so with Allen Hurns than Cecil Shorts. Also, Mercedes Lewis, their tight end,
he's been there forever.
But he comes back. He hasn't played in several weeks. He's been on that designated IR to return. Well, he returns this week. So keep an eye on Mercedes Lewis. Let me tell you something. Rookie quarterbacks, they don't like – I mean, they nothing more than a tight end as their drop, their last option.
Safety valve, if you will.
There you go. And last but not least, Denard Robinson.
Yeah.
I can't say enough wonderful things about this guy. And, you know, I'm really big into fantasy football, and I'm going to talk to you about DraftKings in just a second. But I own him in four of my seven fantasy football leagues.
Well, let's hope he doesn't own the Giants the game's over.
No, but I mean, where I'm going here with this is the Giants, don't underestimate this young man. I mean, he's utilized in the rushing attack. He's utilized in the passing attack. He's very – his running style is very strong. He's very elusive. Hopefully, Colin Jenkins will be able to suit up and play. They're going to need him this week on the line with Denard Robinson. So, and don't sleep on this defense either. This Jacksonville Jaguars defense—they've gotten better as the season progresses. Obviously, Gus Bradley, being a defensive-minded head coach, has definitely spent a lot of time on this defensive unit. Really quick, listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. So hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. How great is that? 10 grand?
I'll take 10 grand.
Especially with Christmas right around the corner?
Yeah.
Come on.
How could great I just get the 10 grand without doing the other stuff?
No. Head to DraftKings.com now to enter Blue to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Especially if this guy wins. It's a pretty big millionaire right here. Enter Blue for free entry. You are. You're big.
Big in size.
Yeah.
Right.
Entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Let's continue with our calls, Roman. My screen went dead, so here we go. Let's go to line one. We have Russell calling in from Fort Knox. Russell, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. What you got for us?
All right. I was just listening to what y'all saying. I'm a good, big fan of the show.
Thank you, Russell.
All right. What's our record?
3-8. No.
Okay.
3-7.
So what is the purpose? We're not going to the playoffs. It's over. Done. Game over. Over. No,
3-7.
Done.
I'm sorry. Jeez.
We can continue to win. But what's our purpose? We're not going to the playoffs. That's it. It's over. It's like that Dallas game, that was it. People been blaming Eli Manning for that pass. Yeah, it happens, but when your O-line sucks, Eli don't want to get injured. That's what I'm thinking in his head, because I'm watching his eyes. He's like, man, these dudes are not blocking, period. We couldn't run the ball, period, until Jennings got, you know, third, fourth quarter, Jennings got some opening. But Dallas got a better O-line. It is what it is. They got a better O-line. Romo had 7.5 seconds back in the past. I mean, it is what it is. We need a better O-line. We 3-8. We tied with the Redskins. Season's over. So right now, I mean, we should let Corey Washington play. We should let these young boys play, see what happens. You know, I mean, that's why I didn't understand. I listened to what you were saying. I'm like, why not let Corey Washington play? We're not going to the playoffs. It's over.
So you want to tank?
Russell,
you want to tank the season and let young guys play and get the first pick overall? I mean, this isn't basketball. In football, that doesn't work.
Some burn to see what type of players we got, because we're not going to the playoffs. It's over. We're not going. So let Corey Washington get some playing time to see what he got. Because if he's not getting no playing time, what's the purpose of having him on the team?
Corey Washington goes to meetings.
Thank you.
He practices every day. I'm sure they have some type of test to test how much you know that week of the opponent. You know, there's a part. Look, Odell Beckham obviously is the number one target. And I talked about this early in the show. If you're not answering the question about getting Odell now, it's too many touches and he might get injured because now he's returning, he's doing all this stuff. Then you're answering the question, why don't you get other guys involved? I mean, I was an econ major in college. It's opportunity cost. I remember that lesson very well. I mean, what's the opportunity cost? I mean, there's one football, and I get it, and this team could be mathematically out of contention for the division and the playoffs and all that stuff. But from a coaching and a playing standpoint, you wake up every Wednesday morning, because that's the beginning of the week in the NFL, you wake up every morning to prepare to play and win. You don't go into that week saying, okay, this week we're going to get other guys involved because we're out of it. That's not the way it works in the NFL. And unless I'm proven otherwise, of someone who played in the NFL for 12 years and been covering the Giants the last five, I don't think that formula has changed. So I get it. Play the young guys, and that's the fans' perspective, and I get it. And because we're not, so you need to see what else is out there. Now, seeing what else is out there December of 14 – does not equal to what you're doing August of 15, period.
Yeah, but...
Training camp, mini camp of 15. What Jarrell Jernigan did in that Detroit game was great for his career, and that enabled him to have, you know, be consideration for playing time. But unfortunately, he got injured, but he earned his right to play more this year, and he was playing more. So I don't, you know, and I don't want to argue with myself here, but I get it, and I feel the fans' pain, and I understand completely. But,
yeah, but also
this thing isn't designed to get guys more playing time because the season's over.
I understand.
A coach, if that's the way you feel as a coach or a player, then don't show up to work.
I understand. I understand what you're saying. But again, you know, fans have to understand, you know, Roman still in his mind is a player, because that's what it's been your career. And so even though that now you're part of the Giants broadcast team, you're still mentally a player. You've been in that locker room, you've played for a number of teams, but you have to.
I mean, do you want the Giants to get blown out and Corey Washington gets eight catches for 100 yards?
You're not following me.
No, I'm saying not you, but the fans. I mean, is that what they want?
Well, again, listen to what I'm saying. So here's your mentality. Here's your world. Here's your rose-covered glasses that you see reality in. Now, kind of take a step out, right? Take a step out.
Remove Roman from the circle.
Remove,
look back into the circle.
Remove and put on a Giants blue. Put on a Giants blue. If you're a fan, I could totally understand the fan saying, why are you playing Eli? Why are you playing Odell? Why are you risking these guys to get injured? Our season's over. Why don't you play these young guys? So what if we lose? We want the number one draft pick. We want to move up on the board.
Right.
You
want to move up from seven pick overall right now to three or two?
You can't be upset with what the
fans are
saying.
I'm not upset at all.
Okay.
But I'm not upset at all. And like I said, I
understand.
Listen, I grew up. I grew up in D.C. I worked RFK Stadium. I was as big of a Redskins fan as a child as anybody. And my mom still calls me complaining about the Redskins every day. So I totally get it. My high school coach, my fan, I totally get it. And I mean, my world doesn't just exist. I understand how the world works, but my role is to educate fans based on my intimate knowledge of football, the situation.
And that's why you get paid the big money.
Well, now I did at one point in my life get paid the big money, but no, I get it. And I love fans, and I talk to people in a grocery store, anywhere. Hey, what do you think's going to happen? I talk to anybody. I don't shy away from questions. And as someone who now, is on television or radio, whatever, I understand the responsibility of explaining to fans, but you can't walk into the week saying the season's over, let's just play other guys. Like, I went to Louisville. I'm a fan of Louisville Cardinals. When I see a senior dropping the balls, I say, put the redshirt freshman in. He was a good, highly, he turned down Tennessee and all these other schools for Louisville. Let's see what he can do. I get it. And I feel like that sometimes too. But again, in this particular situation, Corey Washington or whoever's productivity, at some point you've got to believe that this professional coaching staff that the Giants have here, Tom Coughlin, offense, everybody, McAdoo, Preston Parker or whoever is still ahead of where Corey Washington is. That's the question for Corey Washington that he should be answering, not a fan. A fan wants to see – you always want to see the guy you haven't seen as much. But a guy – Preston Parker, what game was that? Three games, he dropped three balls? And then the next week he made up for himself, caught two more balls. So and I think Corey Washington plays the X position, so he's behind Odell Beckham. So are you going to sit Odell Beckham to put Corey Washington in there? So I don't know.
I have
just understand my contribution to and my philosophy where it stands.
Yeah,
I played for a team in Cleveland.
I think I set it up.
Yeah. I played for a team that went 2-1, 2000, Cleveland Browns. Me and O'Hara was a rookie.
2-1.
We went 2-1 and then lost 10 straight. 10 straight, right? We beat the Patriots, the 2000 Patriots, not the 2001 Patriots, and then we lost. Oh, it'll be Cincinnati, I think. And then we lost the last two games, 3-13. That wasn't fun. And that was clear. The fans, I didn't want to read the paper. I didn't want to turn – and I get it. Hey, you signed Oban all this money. Why don't you just sit him because he's going to get injured, put in the retro the other guy, the draft pick. Yeah, because then the quarterback's really going to get killed, right? Or they're going to really be interceptions from him when you're putting in younger guys just to get him playing. In defense, you can do that. I understand the argument, why don't we see more of Demontre Moore? Why don't we see more of the – I understand that defensively. But offensively, you can't sprinkle in guys at the expense of just getting them more reps if they're not 100%, they haven't garnered 100% trust and faith from the coaching staff, because that first time a receiver runs a hook or an in and a quarterback throws an out, it's a pick six. And now what? Now what are you going to say Monday morning? You should have put Ogletree in there. You should put this other guy in there.
I have some Twitter questions for
you. Let's do it.
Okay. How many years is Robert Ayers signed for? And our fantastic producer looked it up for us. And Fox Sports says 2 years. Okay. He's been one of the bright spots. I hope he comes back.
100%. 100%.
How did James Brewer do in the time that he played this past week?
James Brewer has not played this season. He went from being on the injured list every week to not being active.
Okay.
So you have to answer. If I'm James Brewer, I'm saying, why am I not playing? What am I doing?
Obviously, this person didn't watch the game.
Yeah.
You should be the general manager since you have all the answers.
Is that if he's being smart?
I think so.
Yeah, well, I have no interest in being a general manager. I like my job the way it is. Thank you for that comment.
Hey, really quick, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show. You want to get in, now is the time to. 201-939-4513. You mentioned
Washington. It's so funny we can hide behind, like, social media and anonymous, like, and say, you could take a jab at people.
Well, if I was going to take a jab at you, I'd probably do it in social media, too. You scare me. You're so freaking big.
Look, I'm not going to hit any. Obviously, I'm making a joke here, but it's funny.
But hey, I want to talk about. You said my mom's a really big Miami Dolphins fan.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I'm sure you got all for your mom. What's wrong with the Dolphins?
So during the game, I know this is a family show. I can't even share with you what she tweets me or actually what she texts me because it's a family show. Yeah, my mom, she's a sailor, but Yeah, she is.
That's where you get it from.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Well, they don't know me off air.
I'm just
kidding. Anyway, so this is my point. You just said your mom is very frustrated with what's going on with Washington. Let's talk about Washington really quick. Obviously, they're in the NFC East.
Right.
Rumors last night was that RG3 was going to be benched. Jay Gruden was going to go with Colt McCoy. Sure enough, this morning, it is confirmed. Colt McCoy will be the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins as they go up against the Indianapolis Colts. Your thoughts? How does your mom feel about RG3? What's the feeling? And oh, you're laughing.
Let's call Maria. Maria Oban is. Let's call her.
Is she not a fan? Is she not a fan?
No, I think one thing I told Jay Gruden went to Louisville. He was older than me. He went to Louisville. He's a Louisville guy, and I know him very well. He was obviously on our coaching staff as an assistant in Tampa. He's actually worse. He's more like his brother than you think. He's more vocal. I mean, he has this quiet demeanor, but in that meeting room, and he commands, he's just like his brother in that regard. But and I think it shows a bigger picture that he got the green light from Snyder, who always has a de facto control over every head coach that he brings in there. He got the green light to say, if you need to bench him, bench him. We need to win. We need to win more games. So it's going to be interesting to see that, because I think RG3 is owed a very lofty $18 million in March. And that could
– Well, apparently
it could
now
be a cut-or-trade situation for RG3 in the offseason.
What's being reported on Twitter, and again, not everything on Twitter is factual, but this is what's out there right now, is that Colt McCoy is going to start the next five games to really show Washington if he is franchise quarterback material. So it doesn't look like RG3 is going to play again this season. But, I mean, man, everything that Dan gave up for him, and there was the talk about him and, of course, Andrew Luck and who was going to be the better quarterback. And, I mean, obviously there's no comparison here.
Yeah, I think the biggest we're having this RG3 discussion on a Giants show. But just in terms of we're having a football discussion, this is why when you draft a player, specifically like at the quarterback position, as a person who was a part of the Eli Manning and Phil Rivers trade, you know, you draft a player making sure that you bring him into that building and you give him all the tools to be successful. And I think a guy like RG3, because of the Shanahan regime, they're trying to turn him into this, you know, Jake the Snake and these quarterbacks that he had in Denver. And that's not who he was to begin with. He was a spread guy, had linear speed. He didn't have any shake and bake speed. Linear speed means he's track guy, up and down. And he got injured, and he's frazzled. That you're hearing he's not studying. I mean, you don't want to draft the guy that high. When you draft a guy that high at that position, Eli Manning, you know, top five pick, you've got that problem solved for the next 10 years. Now you build a team around him.
Think he'd fit well in Chip Kelly's system in Philadelphia?
I don't know.
All right, really quick before we do have another call on, let's talk about Dallas and the Eagles. Who do you think wins that game on Turkey Day?
I think Philadelphia will win.
At Dallas
because
Mark Sanchez.
With Mark Sanchez.
With the butt fumbler.
If Dallas is still at their model running the ball and if Philadelphia gets ahead, they've got too much firepower and too much steam, and now Dallas has to air it out. They got a great offensive line, but now Dallas has some pass rushers, too, that can get to the quarterback. So it's really interesting to see what's going to happen. But I think the Eagles go in there and take a W.
Again, you're listening to, or watching, I should say, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Roman Oben and Anita Marks with you for another 7-8 minutes. Let's continue with our calls. 201-939-4513. We go to Eisen calling in from Delaware. Eisen, welcome.
Hi, how are you guys doing, Anita?
Excellent.
Roman?
Excellent.
So, you know, I've been the last couple of weeks taking a, you know, different look at the Giants. It's too easy to just focus on the negative. There's plenty of negative there to focus on. But I personally think, I hear a lot of people say they need to rebuild, they need to do this. And I personally feel over the last 2 years, that's really what they've done. They got rid of a lot of guys and they've improved. And I feel that when I look at last year's team, not even looking at the records, I see an improved football team with more talent and potential this year than last year. Unfortunately, it's not resulting in W's, but I feel moving forward, you know, that I feel more confident moving forward till next year, you know, with the current team that's just constructed, plus the changes that are coming and the tough decisions they'll have to make with guys like Rowe and JPP and things of that nature. And I feel if the right decisions are made and we have another productive draft, you know, I like where the Giants are headed. And with Eli on the center, I always give them a shot. So I feel... And the offensive line, I feel we're really only one guy away from that being a complete unit if they go ahead and put Richburg under center next year because the pieces are there. Schwartz missed all year. So I just feel like, you know, I got to look at the positives. And I do see some positives more so than I saw in last year's team when they were beating teams with backup quarterbacks, and I thought that was more of a mirage. It was disguising what the real issues were. So the offense got overhauled, and I feel that this year is the defensive line and maybe, you know, a coaching change as a defensive coordinator. That's all I got. I'd like to hear you guys' thoughts on that.
That's a very positive call, and I think in terms of looking at the bigger picture, thank you very much, Eisen, from Delaware. I know something I always like about Delaware, man. I like, you know, Rehoboth Beach. I like the Wilmington. I drive through there on the way to D.C. But
they allow gambling.
Oh, I don't. I'm not aware of that.
Oh, I am.
You know, I'm not a gambler. So, yeah. Look, and at some point, you do have to look at that, and it goes back to this organization. That's why you don't see quick fixes. That's why you don't see, you know, major, gigantic free agent signings in the offseason. It's not a one guy can come in and fix it approach. The team makes changes. They stand behind their changes. They make additions. They stand behind their additions. And when you ride this thing out, you know, that's why the Giants are always a competitive franchise. Now, you know, not going to the playoffs since that Super Bowl appearance in 2010, you know, does give you some pessimism in terms of how these things are viewed. But in terms of the what you're seeing, you're seeing a team compete and go toe-to-toe with the better teams in the league the last few weeks. Without some of their best players. And look, everyone loses players. Everyone gets injured. We all understand that. But, again, you know, we're not, you know, homers or apologists or anything like that. We're just being honest about the Giants, you know, inability to close these games the last 2 weeks is probably a direct result of that one or two guys that this guy is talking about. And as that happens, you know, the decisions or change don't need to be wholesale. They need to be the ones that most teams make based on their philosophy and what they believe, and I think the Giants will do that going forward. But there's still five teams to play. This team is still on a losing streak of, I think, six games now, unfortunately. And I think there are some things that can be fixed with a W in Jacksonville. I don't want to see, personally, that seventh pick overall. I want to see that pick in the low teens, mid-teens. But, again, life goes on.
Again, want to remind you, listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy site, where it's like a new season every time you play. So make sure you hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. How great's that? Head to DraftKings.com now to enter the code BLUE, B-L-U-E, to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Before we sign off, of course, all of us here at the Giants facility want to wish everybody a fantastic Thanksgiving. Be safe tonight. As we said, it's snowing out. I know that tonight is one of the biggest party nights. A lot of people go out and they get absolutely wasted because you can sleep in tomorrow. If you do, designate a driver. Please be careful. Weather conditions are bad. Tomorrow, be fat and happy. Enjoy yourself. Four fantastic football games on tap. Really, I'm sorry, three.
I'm giving you, like, you're talking, so I'm giving the body language.
I see that. You're like my sign language.
But it's more body language.
Okay.
You know.
So three fantastic football games on tap for tomorrow. I'm probably most excited, obviously, about the Eagles and Dallas. But, of course, you've got Seattle and San Francisco.
I'm excited about Giants and Jaguars.
And, well, that's Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I'm right.
Yeah.
I'm a little early. My bad.
Yeah, you are a little early. And of course, you have Detroit at home going up against the Chicago Bears. So, really, for all of us here, wishing you and your family a fantastic, fantastic Thanksgiving. Before we sign off, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm having my brother-in-law and his, fiance, I guess, to get married in the summer. She's coming over with their kids, and my house is going to be swollen. You know,
Is mom coming up from Washington?
No, she was here this past weekend as she went home because she does her own thing at some time. And I'm frying a turkey again, so I'm back out of retirement.
You got to be careful. That's dangerous.
Oh, I know. And I do it the old way. I've burned hairs off my arm the first couple of years, but I've done it like 8 years now. So I'm deep frying it. I had to get rid of my old deep fryer. Now I got a new one. It's all safe and like the fire's on the inside. I like to like see the fire and stuff. So, you got to go in the garage, open the garage and do it like around the edge so you don't get the wind. Anyway, Anyway. That's what I'm doing. Hey, I'm thankful for our ability to work on air together for many years now. I'm thankful for the Giants organization and those of you fans that call in. I may not always agree, but at least I try to give you my perspective of the situation. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody else. And, of course, we'll be back. Again, stay tuned to Giants.com. After the Giants players practice, they'll be interviewed by the media, and those interviews will be posted on Giants.com. So come back again later on today.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35-30.
What a hit from punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!